up. Surf the radio waves as we begin to burn it up. We all up in your area like landscape, definitely bringing you the power slam of pancakes. It's the mandate that you tune in. It's time to move out so we can move in and recognize that this is no illusion. I'm here to clear the air so that there is no confusion. It all started off in the book of Genesis when Jacob was wrestling with who he thought was his nemesis. And when the man saw he couldn't overpower him, he touched his hip but he really could have devoured him. And from that point then we hear a name change, rearrange the game, so now we gotta change. So I'm here to let you know it's time to listen to the Pancake and Power Slam Show. Let's go!
Turn it up, turn it up.
It's the Pancake and Power Slam.
Turn it up, turn it up.
It's the Pancake and Power Slam.
Turn it up, turn it up.
It's the Pancake and Power Slam Show.
Indeed, indeed, indeed. It is the Pancakes and Power Slam Show. We are here. Thank you so much for listening and tuning in, as always. For those who listen weekly, thank you so much for being faithful to Pancakes and Power Slams. Those who are listening for the first time, just prepare to have a lot of fun, and like we do every week, with trivia, with WWE, with TNA, with ROH, and of course the random discussion topic called the Flavor of the Week. This week's Flavor of the Week, we're going to talk about some no-selling, the worst no-selling matches of all time, meaning matches that just either one or both wrestlers just missed their cues and just it was off and they just didn't decide to sell moves, as you know, for those. I'm sure that most people who listen to this show understands the ins and outs of wrestling and how it's important for the chemistry to go well in a good wrestling match and people to sell moves properly. But sometimes it just out of spite or out of inexperience, it just doesn't go too well. So we'll talk about that a little bit today. And of course, we have trivia. We have this week's news. Before I start off with this week's news, let's start off with the trivia question. First trivia question for tonight is, what gimmick was Bruce Pritchard in the WWE? What gimmick was Bruce Pritchard in the WWE? This week's news, a few things today, a few things this week. Triple H doesn't want Sting to re-sign with TNA. I wrote an article about this yesterday, I believe. And Triple H, he's really trying to use his role to the best of his ability. He's reviving he's gotten the credit for reviving the tag team scene, which we definitely have seen that lately. And acquiring Sting, he wouldn't be a full time wrestler, of course, but at the same time he would be used for licensing purposes and mostly for like the toys and videos and things of that nature. But and then he really and of course Hall of Fame induction. It seems like that would probably be the most notable reason why Sting would be acquired. And then of course we had the big suspicions that last year, nearly 2 years ago, Sting was in closer talks than he's ever been to coming on board with the WWE. But of course, he went back to TNA. But you know, that was a lot of there was a lot of speculation that Sting and the Undertaker could have been on a WrestleMania of last year. So I don't know how I feel about that. I've had talks with different people about that. I'm not sure if I would be okay with the Sting Undertaker match on paper. It just, there's nothing wrong with it. It's just a dream match. But Sting's my all-time favorite wrestler. So it would, from a business standpoint, it would be great. You know, I understand the point of doing it for business, but at the same time, you know, it personally wouldn't do anything for me, because I know at the end of the day, Sting would take the L. So you know, we'll see. We'll see if we'll ever see. We'll see if we will ever see a Sting and Undertaker match. Probably about a year ago or a little over a year ago. Actually, early 2011, so close to 2 years ago. That would have been more possible than ever, but it seems like it's died down now. But we'll see. We'll see what Triple H does. And latest, speaking of WrestleMania, latest rumor for WrestleMania 30 is New Orleans. So there's been a couple of cities that had their bid for it. Los Angeles was one, I believe. Madison Square Garden, New York City was another. But you know, if it's in New York, New Jersey, MetLife for 29, I don't know how. You know, as far as location-wise, I mean, you know, it's close, a very close location as far as New York, New Jersey, and then the next year having it at Madison Square Garden. But at the same time, I can understand the tradition behind it. You know, 30 years, WrestleMania, it's such a monumental number. And, you know, their bread and butter was, you know, Madison Square Garden. So I can understand it. You know, I guess, you know, there's defense for both ways. Today marks, unfortunately, 7 years that Eddie Guerrero has passed away. He was only 38 years old, very untimely from a natural standpoint. And, you know, we definitely still, you know, Eddie Guerrero is still remembered as being one of the greatest in-ring technicians of all time. And just really, really honed his craft when he became his own, you know, gimmick in the WWE, the lie, cheat, and steal. And he just became one of the most popular personalities in WWE history during his last stint in the WWE. So, you know, Eddie Guerrero will always be remembered and well-deserved to be in the Hall of Fame. And then lastly, Jerry Jarrett turns off the TV. It's been reported on his Facebook page. He made comments that he turns off the TV during the CM Punk and Jerry Lawler segment, which I'll have my personal views and personal analysis on that segment here coming up shortly. But, I mean, you know, he was very disgusted with the segment, felt like it was very distasteful from, you know, just basically coming right off of a heart attack, you know, a little over 2 months ago and his first day back. And, you know, it was a sympathetic, speech that Jerry Lawler had, and he felt like, you know, it should have stayed that way. And getting, you know, cheap heat, CM Punk, he didn't agree with it at all. So I'll have my comments about that here coming real soon. All right, Brother Love is the correct answer. Bruce Prichard was Brother Love. Next question is, what NFL team did Goldberg play for? What NFL team did Bill Goldberg play for? Of course, filled the chat room with, with some support here. Chat room's usually pretty live every week. You can also tweet your answers at Crave Wrestling. And if you want to call live, the number to call is 347-884-8452. Once again, 347-884-8452. Looks like we already got the correct answer to the chat room. It is indeed the Atlanta Falcons. Great job, chat room. It is indeed the Atlanta Falcons. Before we go to Raw, one more question here. What WrestleMania did Hulk Hogan face Andre the Giant? It's probably easy. What WrestleMania did Andre the Giant face Hulk Hogan? And if you want to one up, feel free to mention where they where the location was. Let's go to Raw. One thing that I will say is this Pancakes of Power Slams. Once again, thanks for everybody who's been. I mean, the numbers of listeners has grown and grown exponentially. It's in the, it's a very, very humbling number, and I'm definitely grateful. And it's a little over seven months strong now, and we will have some monumental shows coming up here, and so I'm looking forward to that. But saying all that to say that I did manage to visit this Raw, traveled to go see this Raw here in Columbus, Ohio, and I was very humbled to be able to go to the Nationwide Arena and go to Columbus, Ohio for the show. So I can give you a little bit of Raw notes, live notes, and that's where my analysis will be mostly from the live episode, from the live analysis as well. So I believe for the first time in Pancakes and Power Slams history, I can. I follow superstars, but I don't really recap superstars on the show. But the superstars results, I believe there would be spoilers, as a spoiler alert. 3MB, Slater and Mahal defeated the Usos, and the Great Khali defeated JTG. On to Raw. Randy Orton defeats Dolph Ziggler in the post-match attack by Ziggler and Alberto Del Rio. Kofi comes in and makes the save. Taylor Long comes out and books a tag match. Dolph Ziggler and Alberto Del Rio defeats Kofi and Randy Orton. You know, I guess it's a decent, you know, match leading to the pay-per-view. I can understand the heels winning, so you know I can understand the point of that. It wasn't from a live standpoint. It wasn't you know, nothing really being super excited about. But at the same time, like I said, I can reason with the heels winning, especially since I don't see Alberto Del Rio pinning Randy Orton at the actual show. Although they both will be on opposing teams, I don't see Randy Orton jobbing to Alberto Del Rio, so I can understand. Plus hyping people up for the Team Foley versus Team Ziggler, as all four of those people are on you know, respective teams. So, you know, decent build to the pay-per-view coming on Sunday, which we will also have predictions for as well. If you want to call in with your predictions or tweet, once again, the number is 347-884-8452. Send your tweets to @CraveWrestling. And, going to the chat room. We've got some good trivia, as we do always. Looks like we're on the chat room. We have WrestleMania 3 and the Pontiac Super Silver Dome, which is very much correct. Great job. The next question is, who managed Dino Bravo? Who managed Dino Bravo? And for those who listen for the first time, it's just very random trivia questions. Just have a lot of fun with wrestling trivia. Also there's trivia on the Crave Wrestling Facebook page. Usually I'll right now I'm putting up masked wrestlers, and for you to name the person who is underneath the mask. So it's pretty fun. Go to Facebook and like Crave Wrestling for trivia. But like I said, right now the trivia is who is under the mask. Right now I have Max Moon, who's underneath the Max Moon mask. So next we had Dolph Ziggler with Vicky Guerrero cuts a promo about Cena and AJ. And then AJ comes out and defends herself, and Vicky plays voicemails, showing more evidence. And then Cena comes out and punches Ziggler after AJ slaps him. I really don't understand. I mean, it looks like, you know, based on the last minute, you know, shuffling they did with the actual Survivor Series match, I would have actually preferred John Cena, Dolph Ziggler, because I think they, like I said before, they would have put on a fairly decent match. It's something different for the both of them, and it takes John Cena away from the world title picture. I mean, I really wish we would have just seen Ryback and CM Punk again, but, I mean, you know, I can see why they did the triple threat, just because I guess they all, John Cena was already feuding with CM Punk, but, I mean, this John Cena and CM Punk feud has just gone incredibly too long. I mean, it's really all started, last July, I believe, you know, so just not a big fan of CM Punk and John Cena. Of course, you know, take away the beginning of the year when CM Punk was mainly feuding with Chris Jericho and Daniel Bryan, but just, you know, John Cena just needs to let someone, I mean, you know, most of the people who listen to this show and knows me personally knows that I'm not a John Cena fan from a wrestling standpoint, but I do agree that he's good for the business. You know, he sells merchandise. He draws great money. So I definitely can't knock John Cena for that, but I just want somebody, you know, that's the reason why I'm a Ryback fan. And a lot of people know me and how harsh a critic I am as far as, you know, good wrestlers. I'm a fan of good wrestlers, but and not people who are overly gimmick heavy, with the exception of The Undertaker. But I don't know what it is, but I am a Ryback fan. Feed me more. So, and I, you know, and someone asked me actually yesterday why, I think the biggest reason why I'm a Ryback fan is that he, you know, it's something different. You know, of course, there's the comparisons to Bill Goldberg. Of course, it's the RVD, you know, gear that he gets automatically two strikes from a lot of other people. But, I mean, the fans they're catching on. I mean, the Feed Me More chants are resounding. I was there live, and it's even louder live as far as the Feed Me More chants. And by the way, speaking of louder, Vicky Guerrero had so much heat live. I mean, I've went to live shows for, you know, over 15 years. But, I mean, Vicky Guerrero had so much heat. And I've seen her live many times, but I did not remember how much heat she receives from live. I mean, you hear it on the TV, but the heat that she receives live, literally, and I'm not exaggerating, I had a very, very hard time understanding Vicky Guerrero and hearing her. I couldn't hear her. I would hear, you know, every a word or so every now and then, but, you know, I could not hear Vicky Guerrero. So, and that's, I mean, wow. I mean, she still, it's so funny that she isn't even an active wrestler, and she receives more heat than any person on the WWE roster, period. And so, I mean, hey, kudos for being a heel, but wow, that's phenomenal how much heat she receives. So, All right, we got our Raw correspondent, Derek, on the phone. What do you have this week for us, sir?
Yeah, well, unfortunately, I had to listen to Vicky Guerrero, so you lucked out on that. it seemed like I was sitting at home, best seat to watch Monday Night Raw, in my opinion, and it seemed like the Buckeye stay really had a lot of energy last night. I mean, it was kind of enjoyable to watch Raw, and there was it seemed like a great crowd reaction. And Jerry Lawler coming back was great. It's always good to see Jerry Lawler. He was cut short by CM Punk, but that's what happens nowadays. That's too bad. And CM Punk, he'll probably lose his title this upcoming pay-per-view because it's his 365th day of being the champion and just happens to fall on a pay-per-view. Is that what I understand, I think?
364 would be on the pay-per-view. 365 would be on the next Raw.
Hey, you got that's cool. Well, anyway, I think something will happen, hopefully, because I'm not a CM Punk fan. I've said that a lot of times on here. The Big Show versus Regal, that was a good match. However, I mean, Regal, in my opinion, I always thought he could have been a lot more than what he was. And with him teaming up with Sheamus, I think that's going to build a powerhouse if they can be a, maybe not a tag team division, but just hang out, and kind of like APA used to be. But just have a common brotherhood and keep it that way for a while. The Ryback, feed me more. I'm kind of with you. A Ryback is I understand how you feel about his being like Goldberg and things of that nature. I get behind him, too, just because it's something new, it's something fresh. I just hope they steer it in the right direction. And kind of like how they did with Goldberg. Eric Bischoff used him really well and made a lot of money off of it, and a lot of people got behind it. And if the WWE can build that momentum behind Ryback, then, you know, more power to them. That's a step in the right direction. And see John Cena and AJ, good for John Cena. Back to you, Chris.
Great, 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 great correspondence, Derek. Wonderful job. I definitely want to highlight one thing that he said. Everything he said was good, but highlight one thing that he said as far as the William Regal and Sheamus tandem. I like it. I like the pair. I hope that they work with it a little bit more, and I do like the fact that they're using William Regal more on TV. For those who don't know, who he does commentary on NXT, but I do like the fact that they're using him more. I've always been a Regal fan. I've said it before many times on the shows. It's something about European wrestlers that I like. I like the smash mouth type of wrestling style that Sheamus and Wade Barrett and Fit Finlay and William Regal has. So I wouldn't. I think the only probably European wrestler that I'm not a fan of would be Drew McIntyre, but everybody else. There may be another one or two that I'm missing as far as European wrestlers, but that I don't like. But those four that I mentioned, just a smash mouth rugged style, and I like it. It's more of a shoot style than we usually see. So I've been a fan of Regal's for quite some time, and I do like the pairing with him and Sheamus. If they do decide to take a Sheamus, British Bulldog as well. Someone mentioned in the chat room British Bulldog. Very, very good call. Absolutely. British Bulldog was always I was always a fan of British Bulldog. Mostly always. There's a couple stints of his career that I wasn't a big fan of, but for the most part, I was definitely a fan of British Bulldog. So that's I think that might be an article that I might write on the Bleach Report. Notable European wrestler. So, British Bulldog is a real good call. Sheamus and William Regal, I would actually like them as a tag team pairing. For some reason, I like Sheamus more of a face because his character is shown a lot more as a face. You know, his fella and his mic work is a little bit more comedic. you know, him as a heel, just it was just kind of stale to me. And I think the move to a face was better, probably because they pushed him a lot. They pushed him too fast as a heel, and I just wasn't even. I mean, he was feuding with John Cena, and you know, John Cena's. You know, I've already expressed my feelings of John Cena, but still, I think Sheamus was just still. I still didn't know who to root for. I usually don't root for John Cena. I think the only time that I rooted for John Cena in the past 5 years or so was against The Rock, and this year is WrestleMania. So, and then for those who watched the show from back in April, I did mention that if John Cena, and I've not been a John Cena fan for I don't know how long. I mean, really throughout his whole career, I don't think there was a time that I did like John Cena. Maybe when he turned face after turning heel, maybe a little bit during there, but still, I wasn't an avid John Cena fan ever. He was really tainted. I'll tell you what, his career was really tainted, in my opinion, when he came off the bat feuding with Chris Jericho, and Jericho just being the amazing work ethic, selfless person that he is. He put Cena over, and really him and Angle really propelled Cena's career back in 2002. So kudos to Jericho and Angle for that. But you know, I'm a Jericho fan, I'm an Angle fan, and so you know, feuding with the both of them just kind of really hurt Cena, you know, as far as me being a fan of his. And then his push was just meteoric in a sense. And so, I don't know, it just really didn't earn his stripes to me in the beginning. And it just kind of resonated throughout his whole career. And now I just think that, you know, it's time for him to scoot over and let someone else, you know, be the top guy. I definitely understand, you know, the WWE, using him. You know, he draws money, you know, from a business standpoint. I definitely understand, I'm not knocking John Cena from a work ethic standpoint, you know, but at the same time, right now, I got respect for John Cena, and that's saying a lot from how it used to be, but it's a little bit too late because now I just want him to step aside. So that's why I like Ryback. I just want somebody new and fresh and different. So. Thank you so much for your weekly Raw correspondence, Derek. Great job. All right, we'll go on to Big Show and William Regal as far as the show is concerned. Show sets up for KO Punch. Big Show defeats William Regal. Show sets up for KO Punch, and Sheamus comes out and beats up on him. So Sheamus gets a – He kind of gets the last laugh going to the go-home show, so it's been kind of like an unwritten rule that usually the person who gets the last, who gets the upper hand from the go-home show, more times than not usually loses the match. So I don't know. We'll see if that happens. I got my predictions as far as SummerSlam is concerned on Sunday, but we shall see if who actually wins that match. Next question, Frenchie Martin was said on the chat room that is indeed the correct answer. The next question is, what did the Godfather change his name to when he joined Right to Censor? What did the Godfather change his name to when he joined Right to Censor? Next, Kayla defeated Layla for the number one contender. Someone in the chat room said I said SummerSlam. I may have Survivor Series, I believe I said, but yeah, Survivor Series is the pay-per-view. If I did say anything different, not quite. The Survivor Series is the pay-per-view. thank you, chat room, for calling that out. If I did say something other than Survivor Series, good call. That's why it's important to go to log into the chat room, because I pay attention to the chat room very much. And the good father is indeed the correct answer. Great job, chat room, for that answer. Next question is, who did Ricky Steamboat compete against at WrestleMania 1? Who did Ricky Steamboat compete against at WrestleMania 1? As far as Caitlyn and Layla is concerned, I am incredibly fed up with just the three-woman Divas division right now. Talk about something new and fresh. I mean, Natalya just has nothing right now. Beth Phoenix left to spend time with her family. I can totally understand that. Tyler Rex retired because of that. Major, major respect for that. But you still have Alicia Fox. You still have Tamina Snuka. There's some people from FCW that are pretty good. I think that you can either call up some people from FCW or just, Tamina Snuka is a really, I'm sorry, not a FCW, but NXT, used to be FCW. Who knows? I mean, like, you know, Cameron and Naomi, you know what I mean? Just Naomi was talking about recently how she wanted to wrestle again. So, I think that there needs to be a lot more. I mean, you've got Oksana, who doesn't really do much. And then of course you got AJ, that's probably is the best, most popular in my opinion right now. But she's in some random feud that has nothing to do with the Divas division right now. So Layla and Caitlin and Eve, should not be just the only, Divas right now. So that has, television time right now in the WWE. There's too many in NXT that they can call up, and I don't really think that it's a good idea. So we shall see if they decide to make it something different than just those three, which we see just about every week. I mean, just for the past few months, we've just seen them. So please, WWE, change the Divas division. Reshift it. Seems like the tag team division has gone up, but the Divas division has substantially decreased. And for some reason, like the whole Nancy Kerrigan angle, it seems like it's been kind of nixed. We haven't really heard much about that, so I have no clue about what they're going to do. And then here we go, the infamous segment with Lawler and CM Punk. Lawler comes out and live. It was amazing, resounding ovation for Jerry Lawler, well deserved. And the Buckeye State was really in great support for Jerry Lawler. So kudos to Columbus for having that much respect for Jerry Lawler. So I was definitely happy to see that type of ovation. Cuts an emotional promo. Of course, I was expecting him to get teary-eyed. It was just, you can tell that it was just from the heart. I mean, he even mentioned that, he was just humbled, basically he was saying that he was humbled, by the reaction and just the support that he had. And, mentioned a line from, I believe it was, It's a Wonderful Life. And yeah, I mean, it was a really, really good promo. And then the cheap heat comes to play when CM Punk comes out, cuts a promo, mentions his heart attack. And then, you know, they even go a step further and Paul Heyman fakes a heart attack, you know. And then Foley comes out and, you know, cuts a really good emotional promo, goes back and forth with CM Punk. Honestly, and here's my thing. I'm not the overly, you know, critical person about, you know, storylines like that. I understand it's for the business. I understand that, you know, cheap heat is cheap heat, things like that. But at the same time, I mean, he's fresh off his return. I mean, like, they could have, I mean, CM Punk could have garnered some cheap heat a lot more, you know, it could have been other ways that CM Punk could have garnered cheap heat. I mean, just, and if he would have made maybe a slight reference, maybe he would have got some heat with that. But he kept going on and on and on. And then the Paul Heyman fake heart attack was just really over the top for me. It had no purpose. It was pointless, and it was just very disparaging. It was just, I didn't like it, honestly. And this is coming from someone who definitely understands, you know, the purpose of things like that from a business standpoint. But I think it was a little over the top. I mean, my reaction to it was just a shake my head. I was just shaking my head the whole time while I was there, like, wow, they're actually really doing this. Not only are they doing this, but they're going further. They keep doing this. They were just going on and on with it. And then Heyman's, and when he started coughing, I said, it looks like Heyman's about to have a heart attack. And he started coughing, and he was saying it before, you know, he was coughing a little bit the first, and I was just thinking in my head, like, oh man, I hope they don't do this. And yeah, then he did it, and I was like, oh wow, they really stooped down to a low. So, but at the same time, you know, I would see, you know, I guess just rationally speaking, they probably, you know, I would imagine that they asked for Lawler's consent, you know, before they did it, you know, and Lawler just probably being the guy that he was, you know, doesn't mind, but, you know, I don't think it was something to really do like that. I don't know. It wasn't Jerry Jarrett turn the TV off. It was, you know, it wasn't like that for me. But, you know, even if I wasn't there, I wouldn't have, you know, if I was watching on TV, I wouldn't have turned the channel or turned the TV off. But it was definitely a shake my head moment. So next we have Sin Cara and Rey Mysterio, Justin Gabriel and Tyson Kidd defeating Primo, Epico, and Primetime Players. Very, very good match. The crowd was really behind this 8-man match. I think that was a great idea, by the way. And there's actually rumors that it's going to be a Fatal 4-Way tag team elimination match. So that's basically penciled in, and so, you know, we'll see. And I think that that's a good, once again, just showcasing the tag team division. Big fan of it. It should be a number one contenders match. I believe that it should be, but even if it isn't, it's still a good showcase of the tag team division. So if you want to call in, 347-884-8452. Send your tweets to @CraveWrestling. Log into the chat room and be there for the be there for the trivia that we do oftentimes. And next trivia question is Matt Bourne was said in the chat room, and that is indeed the correct answer. Next question is, what other character was Matt born in the WWE? What other character was Matt born in the WWE? Next we have on the Sin Cara and Rey Mysterio, Justin Gabriel, Tyson Kidd win. Sin Cara and Mysterio does a post-match Millions of Dollars dance again. So that was pretty funny. So definitely kudos to the comedic side of Sin Cara. I know that Rey Mysterio had some comedy to him, but Sin Cara was pretty funny. R-Truth defeating Tensai. Poor Tensai. I mean, this guy is just... he's just an afterthought now. I'm a true fan. I like R-Truth, and I definitely think that it was a good idea for him to take the win to just kind of build him up for the match at Survivor Series against Antonio Cesaro, which I am a huge fan of this match. I'm glad that R-Truth wasn't the no offense, sorry to say this, but the Marty Jannetty or the Rick Steiner, so to speak, although Rick Steiner had a decent mid-card career after the Steiner brothers, but not so much. But just the tag team partner, or the Stevie Ray of the tandem, I hope that it would actually be a good thing to see Kofi Kingston as the Intercontinental Champion and R-Truth as the U.S. Champion. I'll give you my predictions on that when we go up to that part as far as the Survivor Series predictions. But we shall see. But I think it is a good build. I think it is a good choice to have R-Truth in the U.S. title hunt. He grabs Mike. Antonio Cesaro cuts a promo, or tries to at least, and R-Truth grabs the mic, and he talks back to him and sets up for this Sunday. Doink the Clown, yes, that is the correct answer. Great job. Next question is, who was the only person to win the Royal Rumble for the WWE title? Who was the only person to win the Royal Rumble when the WWE title was at stake? And if you want to one-up me, name the year that the Royal Rumble was for the WWE title. Next, we had Ryback defeating Brad Maddox. Brad Maddox, his gear, his personality is kind of cocky. I understand it is cool, but I don't know. It's just still something about Maddox that just I don't buy. I just don't buy it. Maybe he needs. I think if he was with Heyman and Punk, I think his gimmick would be a lot better. But just him by itself, just no. I don't buy it. I'm glad that Ryback just annihilated him. And he beats him up even more post-match, and he flips the stretcher and does another meat hook clothesline outside and takes him to the ambulance and throws him in there. So we won't be seeing Maddox for a little while, but at the same time, there's reports that they do expect to bring him back and use him in a decent capacity. So we'll see where they have Maddox in the future. Then Sheamus defeats David Otunga. Otunga is just... he's just one of the most irrelevant superstars in the WWE. I tell you what. When Otunga was with Laurinaitis, I actually started liking him. NXT, absolutely not. Nexus... No, he was just a weird addition to the Nexus to me as well, but I do understand why he was in Nexus because, he was a part of NXT, but and even the new Nexus, not quite. his lawyer gimmick, I bought into. I actually started to like him. I actually thought that he should have had a short U.S. title stint when Santino had it. But at the same time, you know, now they're he came back. He was gone for a little bit. He came back and was kind of like Alberto Del Rio's lawyer. I think that would have been a good addition to Alberto Del Rio's gimmick because it was getting really stale to me, and I'm not a big fan of Alberto Del Rio anymore. But at the same time, I think that if Otunga was with Alberto Del Rio longer, I think that it would have helped both of them. I think that would have gave Otunga a good spot, and it would have kind of revived Del Rio's career. But now, just Otunga is just he's just really not even worth. He's not even worth competing. He's not even worth. I mean, even if he was like an assistant to Vicky Guerrero, that'd be even better. I mean, just even if he was a manager, but Otunga as a wrestler is just awful and just pointless. So, yeah, it was pretty much a given that Sheamus was going to beat David Otunga. Sheamus cuts promo, but they cut to the back and show the Big Show backstage beating up on Regal. And then Miz and Kane defeats Team Road Scholars. Miz was chosen to be the newest member of Team Foley. But at the same time, I was just so disappointed with the options. I mean, you have the Miz and the other two options was Santino and Zack Ryder. Let me say that again. Santino and Zack Ryder. Yeah, I don't think that they would have had a shot. Maybe if like Yoshitatsu would have been the third person other than The Miz, or Tensai, or someone of that nature. I think even Fandango would have beat Santino and Zack Ryder. Just, I mean, no disrespect to those two, but they're not being pushed at all. They're a tag team, and they're not being, I mean, they're just really just kind of stable, low, you know, like kind of lower end of the tag team division. And they both just kind of got thrown together because they really didn't have anything else to do with them. They're basically the other version of Team Road Scholars, but Team Road Scholars actually wins most of their matches. So, yeah, of course Miz was going to get chosen. But, you know, it was a good play on Daniel Bryan getting jealous, and Miz and Kane do pick up the win, and Daniel Bryan tries to raise both of their hands. It was pretty funny. Daniel Bryan, just as a character, is just still, I mean, he's still great. He's still hilarious, and this is definitely Daniel Bryan's most popular part of his career. And then the main event was John Cena defeating CM Punk. Cena and Ryback stare down, both grab the title. I don't know. It seems like, you know, Ryback beat CM Punk in a tag match. Cena beat CM Punk in a one-on-one match. Maybe we might see CM Punk retain the title. But I will give you the official prediction shortly. Ric Flair, 92, Royal Rumble. Yes, absolutely. Great job. Next question is, what was The Undertaker's name in WCW? Going on to Super SmackDown, like we do with the other shows, just a short recap and a couple notes here and there. Sheamus involved in a bar fight with Big Show, speaks about it and calls out Show. Big Show appears on Titantron. Wade Barrett appears and cuts promo. We did see a Wade Baird vignette on Raw. Go home show. No Vince McMahon, no Wade Barrett. Not the best go-home show on Raw, for Raw, by the way. Booker T schedules Regal and Sheamus against Barrett and Show. Kofi Kingston defeats The Miz. Primetime Players defeats Mysterio and Sin Cara. And then The Big Show and Wade Barrett defeats Regal and Sheamus. And then Orton defeats Alberto Del Rio. It was Super SmackDown Live last week. And, yeah, so I think that it was a decent SmackDown. But like I've said before, SmackDown has become an extension of Raw. It needs to regain its identity. That's why I say ending the split wasn't the best idea. Mean Mark Callis. Great job. That is indeed the right answer. Mean Mark Callis. If you want to add on to that, what was the team name of what was the team that he was a part of? Who was the and who was the partner? Who was his partner? He also had a manager too. If you want to if you want to name him as well. So the partner and the manager. He had a couple partners, but the partner that he was known for teaming up with, the most popular one that he was known to team up with, and of course, who managed the Skyscrapers. Great job with the trivia chat room. Keep it up. All right, let's go into Impact Wrestling and leading into Turning Point. Aces, Impact Wrestling last week. Aces and Nates talks, they talked to Luke Gallows, which his name was revealed to be Doc, the director of Chaos. Don't know how I feel about that yet. Yeah, director of Chaos. Initially, I was like, what the heck is this? And then, you know, I'm giving it a chance to grow on me. Doc, Director of Chaos, you know, how innovative, I guess. Bobby Roode defeats AJ Styles. Great match. Hogan and Aries talk backstage. Joseph Park in-ring promo. Request match versus Ace and Nate at Turning Point. Hogan comes out to give answer, and then Bully Ray convinces Hogan to say yes. AJ Styles and James Storm backstage argument. ODB defeats Victoria and Jesse. Post-match attack by Victoria. Sting and Angle defeats Devon and Doc by DQ. Aces and Eights attack Sting and Kurt Angle. Doc repeatedly hits Sting with the hammer. Samoa Joe, Chavo, and Hernandez makes the save. And then a gut check result. Christian York gets a contract. Magnus, Daniels, and Kazarian defeats Samoa Joe, Chavo, and Hernandez. And then finally, Matt Hardy and Austin Aries in-ring segment, leading to their ladder match at the pay-per-view. Great decision to have Christian York as win the gut check. I mean, unquestionably, he was the best gut check contestant that we have seen. I mean, and I like the backstory that they gave him. You know, I think that was a good idea. You know, and I think that's I think with the backstory, and I think what they did with that was a very, very good idea. So definitely kudos to the WWE for doing that. So then we lead on to Turning Point. Samoa Joe defeats Magnus. Eric Young and ODB defeats Jesse and Tara. RVD defeats Joey Ryan. And then a post-match Carbon Footprint on the stage by Matt Morgan. Doc defeats Joseph Park. Good match. The crowd was really behind Joseph Park. I am too. I'm a big, big, big fan of Joseph Park. I really think that having Joseph Park instead of Abyss, I think that that's a good idea because he's funny and just his mic work is just hilarious and just the timidity, the timid character that he plays is really, really funny. Definitely. So I definitely think it was a great idea to bring in Joseph Park and say that his name was Park, and to say that he works for Park, that's just the whole thing is just funny. I think that is hilarious. Great job. So awesome. And then as far as the skyscrapers are concerned, right now I see the skyscrapers is indeed the correct answer, but he was not known to team with Sid Vicious. Although Sid Vicious was a part of the skyscrapers, Sid Vicious and Mark Callis teamed with this person. Because the skyscrapers was initially Sid Vicious and this person, and then Mark Callis came in. Skyscrapers came in 1989, and then it was this person and Sid Vicious, and then Vicious went out for injury, and then was replaced with Mark Callis. So the new Skyscrapers was Callis and this person. Once again, yes, great job, chat room. Danny Spivey, indeed. So Dangerous Danny Spivey. I don't have an answer as far as the manager, but Tae Long managed them. But great job. Who was the first hardcore champion is the next question. Who was the first hardcore champion? Then we have Bully Ray makes a save when Doc tries to attempts to beat Park with the hammer. Tyro and Hernandez defeats Daniels and Kazarian. Good match there. James Storm defeats AJ Styles and Bobby Roode. Great, great match. Just what I expected. AJ Styles gets the pin. Now, on Impact Wrestling, Hogan said that in the Triple Threat, the one who wins is the number one contender for the TNA Heavyweight title, but the one who loses cannot have a title shot within a year. AJ Styles lost. But the first thing I thought of was, okay, so basically he's the only cruiserweight style X division wrestler, and then with the new with the new type of clause in the X division title contract where they can relinquish the X division title to get a world title match at the Destination X pay-per-view, that's what I thought of. I thought that AJ Styles will now vie for the X Division title, and I think matches with him and RVD, X Division, that would be very stellar. So I don't, for all those fans of AJ Styles, I think that it would be very hard for me to see that he won't have another title shot for 11 months. So we'll see. We'll see where that goes. And then Angle defeats Devon. Decent match there. And then finally, Jeff Hardy defeats Austin Aries. As far as Angle Devon, there's a bunch of aces and eights that came in the match, but Angle managed to escape. And then as far as the ladder match, it was a good match. I figured it was going to be a good match. Really, really good spots. There was a crazy
a crazy twist of fate spot off the ladder. Nice spot there. But it was a good match. I figured as soon as they said ladder match, I wasn't a fan of just a rematch, just a normal rematch. But when they put a gimmick to it, I thought that was a good idea. So nice way to throw a gimmick, you know, in the pay-per-view to make the main event a little better. One criticism I have about Turning Point, though, it was a decent pay-per-view. Wasn't nowhere near the best TNA pay-per-view of the year, and I think I've watched just about every TNA pay-per-view this year. The whole Turning Point was revolved around Aces and Eights. They were on the poster, but no reveals. No reveals. I mean, I know you do reveal Luke Gallows or Doc, but at the same time, I think someone like a Wes Briscoe should have been revealed. The Angle and D-Von match, I think Wes Briscoe should have been revealed, seeing how he's kind of shadowing Kurt Angle. I think it would have been a good idea to reveal Wes Briscoe or even Garrett Bischoff. It's getting a little bit redundant. Like, I think they're stretching it a little bit too much as far as figuring out who the VP is and things like that. Enough already. Reveal who the VP is, reveal who the Aces and Eights are, and just have them be active wrestlers. Just have them, you know, be unmasked and just be just a no-nonsense, you know, anti-establishment, anarchy style group, you know, and you know, but just the whole mask and just who is this, who's under there, you know, we've seen, it's been what, 5 months now, so we need a little bit more revealing to do as far as keeping my interest. And and from comments and other commentary I've heard and seen, it's just about across the board that more revealing needs to happen with Aces and Eights. All right, let's go to ROH. It's a recap of Glory by Honor 11. Mike Bennett defeats Mike Mondo. Great spot by it was a great match, by the way. Great spot by Mike Mondo jumping off that truss. It was a very bold move for him to do that, and I definitely think that it was a very courageous and a good spot by Mondo. Mondo's growing on me. I like Mike Mondo more than I used to when he was with the Spirit Squad. It was just ridiculous, but Mike Mondo and ROH, good move. Once again, who was the first hardcore champion? Wrestling's Greatest Tag Team defeats BJ Whitmer and Rhett Titus. I like the tandem of Rhett Titus and Whitmer. I think, I'm just curious to know, you know, what's going on with Kenny King, because he kind of, you know, dropped ROH for TNA exposure and became somebody. The crowd was behind him, and TNA just decided not to use him. So, you know, we'll see what's going on with Kenny King if he goes back to ROH and realizes that it's more stable paycheck. And but I like the team of Whitmer and Titus, though. So we'll see where he goes. We'll see where he goes after, you know, if he decides to leave TNA or if TNA will give him another shot and push him. And then lastly, phenomenal match. Adam Cole defeats Eddie Edwards, retains the TV title. Great spot, to tell you. Talk about your wrestling clinic. They had a bunch of two count falls and a bunch of reversals. I mean, it was just a very phenomenal match. Kudos to Adam Cole and Eddie Edwards for putting on a great match like that. I mean, that's really what ROH is about, just really, really good wrestling, and we need that. I mean, like I said before, you know, if their production was better and they had better TV exposure, Sinclair would give him a better spot. I mean, you know, Sinclair has a, you know, really, really, they have a wide variety of very popular stations. So, you know, if they had a better spot, more production, I think that they'll have a really good competition to be the number two company. But because their wrestling, their quality of wrestling is one of the best. So, all right, quickly, let's go to the flavor of the week, no-selling matches. Start off by Goldberg versus Regal, and indeed, Mankind is the correct answer. Great job. Next question is, what pay-per-view did The Undertaker debut? And you can say what year as well if you would like. Goldberg and Regal. It was an episode of Nitro when Goldberg was just, you know, annihilating people with his streak. Regal, on the other hand, there was a couple times that he just didn't sell moves. Regal, just being the smash mouth guy that he is, was just saying, basically he said, "Oh no, I mean you're gonna beat me, but you're not gonna beat me, you know, easily." So he did kind of, you know, he did a couple of some thrust moves, and he did a couple moves that Goldberg didn't really react to. So Survivor Series is the correct answer, but it was not 1991. It was not 1991. Next match is CM Punk versus Elijah Burke on ECW. Yes, 1990 is the correct answer. If anybody want to call in, 347-884-8452. Once again, it's the number. CM Punk is Elijah Burke. CM Punk has actually said some really bad things about Elijah Burke, as far as Elijah Burke being one of his worst competitors, and that was a big surprise. So, you know, I don't understand exactly why Elijah Burke was one of his worst competitors, but I do remember that match. He did make mention to that match and how awful it was. So, you know, but at the same time, I've watched Elijah Burke wrestle, and I don't think he's a bad wrestler. It's probably a couple of times that it wasn't didn't necessarily work out for Elijah Burke in the ECW, and CM Punk just had some really bad things to say about him. Undertaker and Kane versus Chronic. Now, Chronic was I thought that they were a great tag team in the WCW. Both of them, well, Brian Clark was in good shape throughout most of his career, but Brian Adams, when he was Crush, he wasn't in the best of shape. But he actually got into really, really good shape and had a team with Brian Clark. And Chronic was just a really good tag team. And, yeah, so I definitely give it up to them. But it was an Unforgiven 2001, and they had a match against each other. And Undertaker was totally upset. And if you watch the match, go to Undertaker and Kane versus Chronic, Unforgiven 2001. Undertaker actually shouted an expletive because there was some selling that he didn't do. So that was very, very, very interesting. Got a call here. Let us know your name and where you're from. What are your thoughts?
My name's Bob. I'm from Tallahassee. But I think the Ultimate Warrior, pretty much any match that he was in, was just absolutely horrible. If you go back and see that, he had absolutely no skill at all. But I got behind his character when I was younger, and he just really didn't have what it took to be a real worker. You know, like the Bret Harts and like the Harley Races and Ric Flairs and whatnot. So The Undertaker had so many bad matches. Not The Undertaker, I'm sorry. Ultimate Warrior. Undertaker had awesome matches. But the Ultimate Warrior, he was kind of a disappointment when it came to the scientific side of wrestling. He had a great character, but he was a gimmick, and that's pretty much it. So, Michael, thank you.
Thanks a lot, Bob. Yeah, that was actually another one of my matches, Hogan versus Warrior, WrestleMania. So, yeah, that match wasn't the best in the world. There was a part of me that I've watched that match countless amount of times, and it just seems to me that it was that Hogan. It was WrestleMania 6, by the way, but it really seemed to me that Hulk Hogan just did not want a job to Ultimate Warrior, because he even like kicked out almost at the end, and I agree. I mean, the Ultimate Warrior. Even I watched the self-destruction of the Ultimate Warrior a bunch of times as well, and Bobby Heenan just had so many bad things to say about him. As a kid, you know, you're like, wow, you're so caught up in the Ultimate Warrior, you know, character, larger-than-life character. But then, you know, like a lot of them say, like Christian and Edge and Chris Jericho, like they were talking about on the DVD, you know, as you got older, I mean, you're like, what in the world are you saying in these promos? Like they were pretty bad, honestly. But I mean, but at the same time, you know, you can't knock. I personally believe that Ultimate Warrior should be in the WWE Hall of Fame just because of what, just a larger than life character that he was, you know, during the, you know, I guess probably 3 or 4 years that he was actually relevant in the WWE. So next one is Brock Lesnar and Bill Goldberg. That match was another WrestleMania match. Both of them were leaving. It was a good build, but at the same time, And then you even had Stone Cold Steve Austin be the guest referee. So I mean, it was WrestleMania 20, and it was a monumental match. It was a monumental pay per view. You know, it was a good build. Brock Lesnar, Bill Goldberg, both, you know, Smash Mouth, big build, football player. You know, physiques. You know, it was a good matched on paper, but the match was awful, and I was just totally disturbed. They were even, I mean, watch that match too, Brock Lesnar and Goldberg, WrestleMania 20, watch that match too. The match was getting boos, and for Brock Lesnar and Bill Goldberg to wrestle together, and that match get booed, I was totally shocked. Because it was their last night. It was both of their last nights. And it really seemed like they both didn't care at all. So, you know, that was really, it was really hard to watch. The best point of the night was when Austin stunned them. So, you know, that was really brutal to watch. Now, there's a few more. Jake Roberts and JT Lightning. Really unfortunate to see. It's when Jake Roberts was really being influenced by altering substances. I'll say that, mostly alcohol. So, but at the same time, one good thing about Jake Roberts is that there is a documentary that I reported before. He moved in with DDP. He's being trained by DDP, doing some yoga and doing some training. He's lost about 35 pounds so far, so that's really, really good. He's 57 years old, trying to come back for one last hurrah. I've been a lifetime Jake Roberts fan. He's one of the best minds in the business, hands down. And, you know, just because of all the things that he's been through, I would say the past 10 years or so, you know, he needs this. Being 57 and coming back for one last run, it's a bit... You know, I'm very skeptical about it, but at the same time, Jake Roberts needs this. I mean, it would definitely be a good part. You know, it would be a good moment, you know, to see him, you know, get back in shape and have a good match at a Mania or something like that. Put him in the Hall of Fame. I cannot believe he is still not in the WWE Hall of Fame. I mean, no disrespect, but you have a celebrity wing with Drew Carey, Refrigerator Perry, you know, so on, Pete Rose. You have a celebrity wing of people who were maybe there once or twice, but you don't have people like Jake Roberts in the WWE Hall of Fame, who's one of the best minds in wrestling history and influenced a number of wrestlers, one of the best people on the mic I have ever heard in my life, and there is absolutely no reason why he shouldn't be in the WWE Hall of Fame. So I think, like, just setting him up and doing all this and getting him prepared to be in the Hall of Fame and have one last match at a WrestleMania, that would be a great moment for Jake Roberts' career. And I really wish to see other people like that. Scott Hall is another person I really wish for him to get back in shape. And he tried to for a little bit. You know, in TNA, he lost some weight, and then he wrestled in Puerto Rico for a second about 5 or so years ago and got in better shape and actually was a champion down in Puerto Rico. But, you know, I think that's it's good to see Jake do that. And then lastly, Bruiser Brody versus Lex Luger. I mean, I definitely encourage everyone who's listening to go YouTube that match. It was just a random match. It was Bruiser Brody versus Lex Luger. It was a match in Florida. It was back in '87, but it was like it was a cage match that they had, and you know, Lex Luger at the time he was relatively green, only been in the business for a short amount of time, and Bruiser Brody just wasn't having it. Brody was an established wrestler, and he just wasn't going to have Luger, you know, he just wasn't going to sell Luger, and just seemed like in the middle of the match, he just stopped selling moves, and Luger was just puzzled. I encourage everyone who's listening to watch that match, Bruiser Brody versus Lex Luger. That is one of the most, it just gets so hilarious towards the end, and you can just see Lex Luger looking like, what the heck are you doing? Like, I'm totally puzzled. I have no idea why you're doing this. I can't even play it off. And it was just hilarious. So, very, very funny. Bruiser Brody versus Lex Luger. Once again, please go check that out. And then lastly, we'll go to the Survivor Series predictions real quick. Cesaro versus R-Truth for the United States Championship. Although I want R-Truth to win, I believe Antonio Cesaro will take the win. And I think that they're continuing to push Cesaro as a U.S. champ. Like I said, I really, really – I hope I'm wrong, actually. I want R-Truth to win, but I think that they still have a lot of stock in Cesaro to make him continue to be champion. Eve Torres against Caitlin for the Divas Championship. Same thing with Eve. I think that they have a lot of stock in Eve. You know, she's – you know, she's kind of like an ambassador now, in a sense. You know, she won the Stars Earned Stripes, and they're really big on Eve right now. So, Caitlin's, you know, I like Caitlin. She's grown a lot from NXT, and you know, for those who don't know, NXT was actually her first time wrestling. Aloysia or whatever, the real tall women's wrestler. She was supposed to be part of the show, but she was fired. And Caitlin came in, and it was her first time. first time wrestling, and it looked like it was her first time wrestling, but she's definitely grown a lot, and I definitely give Caitlin a lot of credit for her growth, but I don't think she's ready just yet. So, Eve Torres will take this match, in my opinion. Big Show and Sheamus for the World Heavyweight Championship. Show having the title just any longer to me, I just wouldn't understand. I wouldn't understand why they would do that. I do think, though, that Sheamus will win. But I do think that this would be Ziggler's night. I think that just about everybody says that for every pay-per-view, although I didn't think that he was going to cash it in at Night of Champions. Not Night of Champions, but the previous pay-per-view. I didn't think that Hell in a Cell. I didn't think he was going to cash it in then because he was talking about cashing it in a little bit too much. But this may be his day. It's November. You got to set up for WrestleMania, and it would just make sense for, or even Big Show to win. Even this might be another, gets beat up by the person who he fights against, and Dolph Ziggler comes and cashes it in. Either way, I think Ziggler should leave Survivor Series as world champion. And for that reason, I think that his team will lose. Team Ziggler will lose against Team Foley. Randy Orton, I think The Miz, he's on the poster. And I think that they really want to make Team Foley, the victors because of the big emphasis of turning The Miz kind of face. Of course, Miz could be pulling a ruse, but at the same time, Miz is a heel. That might be a brief spark in his heel career, but he got pretty stale. So I hope they don't do that, but I think they should showcase. There's reports that they're Randy Orton's in the works of getting a major push again soon. So I think that we'll see Team Foley as the victors. And then finally, as far as the scheduled matches, CM Punk against John Cena against Ryback. This is a tough one as well. It seems like it's penciled in right now as far as Rock and CM Punk, but at the same time, we may see a very short champion. To me, Ryback has to win this match because it will be two straight pay-per-views that he will lose, and his gimmick will be even further diminished. So I think that Ryback has to win this match, at least have a short world title run, lose in like December, and then win the Royal Rumble. I think that would probably be best for Ryback, and then go against the World Heavyweight Champion at WrestleMania. So I'm going to go out on a limb, and I'm going to pull for Ryback. So great show as always. Thanks for all who called in. Thanks for Derek, our Raw correspondent. Great job as always. Thanks for those who logged in the chat room. Let's continue to fill this chat room up and just talk about some good wrestling and continue to do that. We have more trivia questions coming up next week, of course, just a show full of them. We will be setting up for, I believe, 2 weeks. We'll do Ask the Hosts, and we'll do the monthly trivia where the chat room and the tweets and the call-ins ask me questions, which is pretty fun as well. But enjoy Survivor Series, one of the oldest pay-per-views in the WWE. I'm looking forward to it just because of the tradition. the card, not as much, but the tradition of Survivor Series I'm looking forward to. So enjoy Survivor Series this week. Enjoy the rest of the wrestling program throughout the week. And until next week, Tuesday, 11 p.m. Eastern Time, follow Crave Wrestling at Crave Wrestling on Twitter. Like Crave Wrestling on Facebook. Like I said, there's trivia there as well. Right now is Who's Under the Mask trivia, and there'll be pictures out there, so check that out. And, if you have any questions, if you have any Flavor of the Week topics that you would like to be discussed on an upcoming show, email cravewrestling@gmail.com. And, of course, follow me on Bleacher Report. I'm a feature columnist there. Chris Featherstone, and I'll have articles for you to enjoy. And thank you so much for all of your support. We're just continuing to go strong and grow more and more. We'll have some wrestler interviews coming up here soon. So I'll definitely let you know about that in the upcoming weeks. So thanks so much for supporting Pancakes and Power Slam Show. We are here for you. We are here for the avid wrestling fans. Continue to spread the word. Let's continue to just grow and grow and call in and support Crave Wrestling. Thanks so much. And enjoy your week of pay-per-view. Enjoy your week of wrestling. Enjoy your pay-per-view. And until next Tuesday, God bless. Goodbye.